Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of NEAR. This is a way for you to support the great work of NEAR Media Co-op, which we here at NEAR think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. There's a few T's and C's, but only a few. Promise. Go on. Let's be friends.
On the line now have Karen Meenan from the Making Hay Theatre. You must have a title there. You must be the creator of the Making Hay Theatre.
Founder, I think it is.
Founder.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really relatively in its infancy. So just to remind us of how it came about.
Okay, no, so Making Hay is very new. It was launched in the end of September in the Mansion House by the Lord Mayor, and the keynote speaker was Pam Schmeiser, who is the founder of, I suppose she's the founder of Reminiscence Theatre Worldwide. Her first play that she wrote was in 1983 in the UK, and she founded Age Exchange Theatre, so she's been doing this a really long time. So I got involved in it all, and my mother had Alzheimer's disease, and she used to love telling her stories and singing songs, and, you know, just telling tales of what life was like. And the more progressed her disease was, the more she wanted to time travel back further. So, like, it started with talking about her working life, and then it went back to secondary school, to primary school, you know. So, and, you know, and I was really interested in seeing how she was remembering with clarity stories from, you know, from infancy. She was talking about high babies and low babies. Mm-hmm. When she was in her 80s, and I thought, God, I can't remember that.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and I'm in my 50s.
Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah, so isn't the brain a mad thing, you know, that... What's important to us now is what's happening now and today and yesterday and tomorrow. But as you get older, now I don't have a huge experience of dementia, but just witnessing my mum, is that the more important stories are the ones that are formed early in your life.
Well, the thing the thing I found about it as well is that I always refer to it as music, the importance of music. And you're about having the one thing about any of the other people that you find with dementia or Alzheimer's is that the memory that they have for words and music is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
I suppose the same thing applies.
The soundtrack of your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's true.
I mean, you just have to hear a song, Noel, and you're immediately back that summer. You can remember what he looked like and how he dumped you. I can remember all those things.
Yes, indeed. Oh, God. Yeah, okay.
Bring me back.
Yeah, you just gave me a shocker there for a second. I had a flash in front of my eyes of 17 again, and I cried my eyes out, no doubt about it.
I did too.
Okay, next week, tell us about the play that's on in the Axis.
Okay, so we had from Making Hay, which is the name of the company of the theatre company, Making Hay, makinghaytheatre.ie, we developed a play from a series of workshops. So the workshops were with people, older people. Some had dementia and some didn't. And that's very important because it didn't really matter. A lot of people have asked me, you know, when I say it's a dementia-inclusive play, does it mean that the characters in the play have dementia, you know, or what does it mean? No, they don't. But the stories that the characters play are an amalgam of all the people that I would have met, mm-hmm. you know, whether they would have had dementia or not dementia. They were just older people telling memories. And this is the gorgeous thing that I found when I was doing the workshops. This didn't really matter. If you travelled back far enough to start the reminiscence workshop at a time when, you know, 17 was always a good place to start, seeing as we mentioned 17, you know, you'd say to them, what was it like when you were going out, when you were getting ready? What was the, you know, did you wear makeup? You know, all this kind of stuff. How did you go? Did you go on a bike? Did you get a crossbar? Did you get a crossbar? And that seemed to be the time when people got most animated in the group. And this was with dementia or without. So we kind of started the genesis of the play there. So I wrote the kind of skeleton of a play. And then I thought there was an older character called Mary, who was based on a real life person called mm-hmm. Mary Bowen, who's actually 84 now. And she's an amazing woman. She's still doing line dancing and sharp as a tack. And then an older character, Ken, who was an amalgam of all sorts of people. And then I thought, you know, that's going to get a bit boring, just listen to, you know, do you remember? So I thought, I really want to contrast it with a teenager. I have three teenagers, and, you know, for them, the night is all about getting ready, before they go out. It's the pizza, it's the makeup, sharing clothes. Mm-hmm. How are they going to get there? Talking about it on Snapchat for a week. Like, the night itself is almost a side issue. They go there and they spend half their nights on their phones photographing each other at this place. Which to me seems like an absolute waste of time. But, you know, I'm not 15 and I'm not 17, so, you know, what would I know? So, and then they come back and they share all their stuff on Snapchat and Instagram. So I thought, I really need to put in a teenager there to liven the whole thing up and, you know, put a huge cat amongst the pigeons between these two older people. So that's what the play is all about. Now, obviously, because it is a drama and it's a play, something, of course it does. So, you know, we're met by this teenager, Izzy, who's 15, and she is... It's a very last-minute arrangement. She's staying with her two grandparents, Mary and Ken. Now, these are her maternal grandparents, but she doesn't see them that often, which is strange. The other grandparents, the ones on her dad's side, they're off on a cruise in the Mediterranean, so we know that they're already a bit wealthy, bit of crack, they've gone off. And her parents have just booked a credit card holiday to Paris, which they can't afford, and they're gone at the last minute. So we already know that from the first kind of opening beat of the drama that Ken and Mary aren't a bit happy that this girl, Izzy, is spending a weekend with them. They hardly know her.
Yes, yeah.
So we're in the audience wondering, now, why don't they know that child? She's their grandchild. And this all comes out later on, obviously. Okay. And then Izzy, who is 15 and glued to her phone, as all 15-year-olds are, you know, like, at one point, it's a Friday night, and her granny, Mary, says to her, so, you know, what are you going to do tonight, Izzy? You know, what's your plans for the weekend? And she's saying, I don't know, I think I might catch a film. And Mary is concerned at this because she's going, well, we were thinking of watching the late days. What time is your film on? And she says, I'm going to watch it on Netflix, Gran. I don't need the telly, you know.
Yes,
and then the granny is all, oh, you can watch films on your phone these days, you know.
Yes,
so there's all of this. So we see there's kind of already there's this eye rolling between the two of them, kind of going, oh my God. And then something happens. And then we realise that when push comes to shove, you know, we're all the same, you know, in a crisis. It doesn't really matter what age you are, or, you know, we are all young ones, is the real, you know, kernel of the story.
Indeed. And I have to say a couple of things there. I was at a great gig myself last night. It was absolutely fantastic. And I'm not talking about, I mean, obviously it was in a pub, so therefore they weren't teenagers. 25 to 35 and upwards. And a lot of them spent more time on the phone doing selfies than listening to the gig and sort of talking more about, like, beside me.
You going, get that, Noel?
Why would you pay in so much to watch a gig and then spend all your time? Anyway, the thing about this, I just want to talk about this play again, Karen, because it was a huge success in November, and that's why you're bringing it back. That's the first thing about it. But it's also going back with two shows a day, which is fantastic.
Oh, look, we are beyond thrilled. When we put it on, first of all, in November, we put it on an afternoon. It was only going to be one, you know. We got one day, so it was an 8 o'clock showing. And then there was an awful lot of older people who wanted to go, like anyone who was part of the original workshops. They were saying, could you not do it in the afternoon? Don't really like going out at night. And so I asked Alexis, I said, would you mind if we had two shows in the one day? Can we do a matinee performance as well? And they said, yeah, it's kind of tough doing two shows in one day, but yeah, if you're happy to go for it, go for it. So we sold out both.
It's great.
And we had a waiting list for tickets. And, like, of all the things that I thought would go wrong, I didn't actually think that the biggest problem I'd have would be people screaming at me saying, we want the tickets for that, and you can't get them. Like, you can't physically put in anyone more to the access than we did.
Okay, and, well, it's on the 6th. It's on the 6th and 7th of February.
And
there's two shows, one at 2 and one at 8 p.m. I'll give you out the numbers. 883-2100 is the access number. And you can look up accessballymun.ie. What I want to talk to you, is there any transfer of skills in the course of some of the research you were doing when you were setting up all of this? In other words, I remember a couple of years ago, a lot of young people took the initiative, young teenagers, because they wanted to learn skills and games. This was now 5 years ago. I don't know how advanced technology has gone. I mean, to learn some of the skills and games, as I said, that from the older generation, you know, ordinary street games. Skittles and I can't remember, jumping, and you know the way you used to make the boxes?
Yeah, skipping, French skipping jacks, you know, all these things.
Yeah. Do you get any interest in that at all in the course of your research?
Well, what we did in our research, because I researched reminiscence workshops and sessions as part of my, I did a BA in drama last year, and that was my dissertation was all about that. And what I was, the key thing I was trying to research was finding the fun in dementia, because, you know, my mother had it. It's an awful thing to live with on a day-to-day basis when you get the diagnosis first, because you're still trying to struggle with the whole thing of, okay, life is actually changing. But once you kind of get over the initial shock of the diagnosis, you know, like, Mom was still very healthy. I know she had Alzheimer's, but mm-hmm. she was still healthy, and she was still able to do things, and she still could remember. You know, if you could go back far enough, yes, she could remember. So one of the things that she loved to play was Jenga. Did you ever play Jenga?
You'll have to tell me what it is for us. I probably did, but just okay. don't remember the name.
It's a fancy word for just building bricks. So it's in a kind of a circular tube box. Now, we all had it when we were small, Jenga. It's like wooden little bricks. And this became one of Mam's favourites.
Oh, yeah, toys. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, not the toys. It was one of my kids' toys. But we used to spend afternoons with Mam, because what she loved about Jenga was you have to build up, you know, it doesn't sound like much, but it's a child's game for kind of concentration and, you know, to watch to see how high the tower can build before it falls down, and it will fall down eventually, and then you have to pick out little pieces of it. But what I hadn't realised was how much fun Mam would get from a toy, and also I didn't realise how much fun that my kids and my mother and me, you know, the three generations would sit howling laughing at Jenga. We'd spend hours playing it.
Yeah, well, we had something, just to interrupt you, Karen, they had something like that arranged at a Christmas party. I mean, imagine trying to play that with a few drinks on you. So, yeah. You can imagine the fun that was there. It's just
bit
come
like
back to me there.
I'd say, yeah. Huh?
Before I forget to ask you, anyway, I want to mention that again. We Were All Young Once. It returns to the Axis. It's on the 6th and 7th. And accessballymoon.ie, and I'll give out all the details later on. And the funny thing about it is as well, Karen, just how quickly September 2017 was the inauguration of all this, mm-hmm. and you've been invited to join the ERN.
European. Yes, the ERN is the European Reminiscence Network, so that is a huge honour, and I am absolutely beside myself. I'm so thrilled. Pam Schweizer, the lady I was telling you about, who set up Reminiscence Theatre in the UK, first of all, she set up a theatre called Age Exchange, and she saw in 1983 what we're only seeing now is the importance of the intergenerational thing. I think if you take out the middlemen, which is, you know, kind of the likes of maybe you and me,
yes.
and allow younger people and older people to just have the crack, you know, they will run games like the games you were talking about, skipping and, you know, Jenga and Jacks and, you know, all of these old-fashioned games, and enjoy that, and all the games that and the interaction they can have on memories. And one of the things that she had set up, her first play was called The 50 Years Ago Show. And the point of it was that she had, like, say the kids in the room would have been maybe 11, 12. She would say, okay, 50 years from now and 50 years ago. And they would be able to, you know, do the whole thing of, you know, kids love to talk about spacemen and everything. Mm-hmm. And then she brought them back 50 years to what it was like when the older people were, you know, younger. And that became a huge hit, and that toured all around the UK. And that's what got her launched.
Right.
So she thought there's a real value in this. So she wrote almost a play a year every year. So she has 34 plays.
Great.
Very famous woman, very well regarded, and she set up this thing called the European Reminiscence Network all over the world.
Yeah, and Karen, it's being hosted in Ireland now. You have the honour of that. Any idea where it's going to be? Has the venue been selected yet, or is that all to
the venue hasn't been selected yet? But can you believe it?
Great,
only
great.
In the door a wet week.
That's it. Yeah, doing great.
And Pam was saying to me, you know, she Making Hay is the only Irish member of the European Reminiscence Network. Like, it's in 20 or 30 countries around the world. It says European, but it's actually also USA, Canada, India, mm-hmm. Latin America. I think it's Australian Far East. I know there was a couple of delegates there from Japan and Singapore as well. So she said, would you like to host it next year in Dublin? I'm going, yeah, okay.
I'll have to get along to that and do some recording
again,
and on top of that I'll talk about that as well. There's two things I'm going to do now before I let you go. One, I have two young, beautiful young girls in the studio at the moment, and I want to commend them, because I get a lot of young people in for work experience over many a time, and they're the only two I think I've had in over the past couple of years that hasn't had their phone in their hand. So I want to
come. Oh, excellent.
It's been absolutely terrific. But then on the minus side, I sort of feel sad. Maybe I'm being a bit smug now, but I wonder what legacy young people have as far as games without any of the, you know, the phone or laptops. like the stuff we've been talking about in reminiscences, the young people today, what's the legacies will they have as regards games? It'd be interesting to know what they do in that. So I'm going to ask them.
No, that's a funny thing you mentioned, because my teenagers are 19, 17, and the little fella's just turned 14. And already the 19-year-old is saying to me, I feel sorry for all the kids, you know, who are kind of getting presents of phones when they're 5 and 6. He says, I feel so sorry for them, they won't have a childhood. And I thought, wow, you know, there's the fella who walked around to the phone in his pocket, but he's already seeing it, yes, you know, yeah, that there is something missing.
Well, I think with all the controversies, you know, today as well, Karen, I think a lot of young people are seeing that as well, and they're questioning younger people. I mean, young girls and all, as young as 16, are saying that children of 8 to 10 shouldn't have phones. I mean, this sort of thing. So they're becoming guardians of their own generation. So I think we can sort of relax a little bit, and it's sort
the
of...
The future is safe.
Yeah, I think so. It's going a little bit over the top at the moment, but I think especially if there's a couple of siblings in the family, I'm sure they look after each other. As I say, from what I've heard, now I could be totally wrong, but from what I've heard. Okay, I'm going to finish off just to mention again, We Were All Young once, 6th and 7th of February, 2 shows, 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and people can look up accessballymun.ie, and the number is 883-2100. I know you haven't got a venue, any idea of what time of year it's going to take place?
I know the time of year, it's in May, next year, 2019, so it's especially May for Bjeltana month, because it celebrates older people.
Okay.
And there's all sorts, like the Bjeltana Festival is fantastic, they have their own website, bjeltana.ie, so you can see all sorts of events. What I'd love to do is, between now, like I've kind of 18 months to plan it, is to involve so many older people in arts, dance, crafts, all, you know, anything at all that active retirement, you know, anyone at all who wants to celebrate being old in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. I suppose
would be welcome to this.
Yeah, so, well, you've been abroad to some of these as well, and I'm sure, I know it's a cliche, but I think most people around the world are particularly the same. When, you know, especially when you get to a certain age, we all do the same things, we all have the same hobbies, more or less, and that sort of thing. And when this sort of organisation is put into something, like what you, the wonderful job you've done, I think it proves that, and that's all that people need, is some sort of diversion.
And I think sometimes you just need a little stimulus. Like one of the delegates I found really interesting, I met in London last week, a lady, Yashuko, she's a representative from Japan. Origami is a huge part of their culture. So when somebody is very advanced with Alzheimer's or any type of dementia, if you give them a piece of paper, and they their communicative skills have gone, they no longer talk or, you know, have any conversation, they will shape that into a beautiful swan or a bird or a lotus flower or anything, because that's a skill they learned when they were young. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it depends on the country and the culture, but people, you know, as I was saying about my mom, you time travel back to when you were comfortable in your... Like, mom could do times tables and French verbs. That's young kids.
Okay, yes, indeed. Okay,
you know,
Karen...
It's just the way it was.
So okay, listen, it's wonderful. No problem. I look forward to talking. I'm sure I'm going to be talking to you a few times before that conference takes place. And good luck. I'm sure everything is going to go great. I'll give all that information there again. Thanks very much,
Karen.
Thank you
so much.
Bye bye.
Much appreciated. Bye bye.
Bye.